Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. Abortion. You'd have to look long and hard for another topic that generates as much passion and intensity in people as this one. Save the unborn is the battle cry. But questions arise, everything from women's rights to when a developing fetus becomes a human being. Heartbeat, breath, cognitive ability, and the battles rage. Our guest today has some definite thoughts on this subject. I've asked him to join us to discuss some recent happenings in the abortion arena. Michael Peabody is an employment law attorney practicing in Los Angeles, California, and the daddy of two wonderful children who, if his posts on social media are to be believed, pretty much form the center of his and his wife's universe. He's a frequent guest on this show. Michael, welcome back to Life Quest Liberty.
Well, thank you. It's good to be back.
Now, I need to say this. The opinions expressed are those of the speaker. You are free to draw your own conclusions, listener. Here we go. Now, Michael Peabody, when did your intense interest in the subject of abortion begin and why?
Before you have kids, you don't really think about abortion that much. You don't think about childhood.
Right.
And my wife was pregnant, and it turned out that her fluid levels were low. So one day I get a call when I'm in court saying, hey, you've got to come to the hospital. I'm being admitted to the hospital, and they're saying they may need to induce labor early. Mm-hmm. Now, this was about 7.5 weeks before we were ready to have Sophia. And so I got in the car, I rushed over to the hospital, and they were doing ultrasounds and everything, and they were very concerned that my wife's fluid levels were too low, and the baby may not even survive. It was super heartbreaking.
Yes.
Fortunately, they were able to stabilize her fluid levels, but they needed to go ahead and deliver the baby early, about 2 or 3 days after I first got that call and after she was admitted. So I'm in the hospital, and I'm in the delivery room where they're about ready to do a C-section. Now, during this time, I'm thinking to myself, this is really within the third trimester. Is the baby a human being? Is it not? They do the C-section, out comes the baby, she's got her legs up by her head, and she's folded over. And it was so tense because this is amazing, it's a baby, she's got hair. And she starts wiggling, and they're trying to move her up, legs down, and I guess that's pretty normal for babies to be born, you know, like that.
Yeah.
And suddenly she started to whimper. And she started to wiggle and respond to the light and respond to the surgeon's fingers around her. And they put a feeding tube in her, and they saved her life, basically. They had to help her breathe at first. Soon she was breathing on her own, and they cut the umbilical cord. And they took her off to another room because they needed to make sure she was okay. And I went back with my wife, and then a little bit later, I was able to go back to see the baby. And I saw the baby before my wife did because of the way this was happening. And so I went up to the baby, and they said, oh, do you want to hold her? And so I held her. She's only 3.5 pounds. And I touched her hand, and her hand closed around my finger.
Oh my.
And then she looked at me, and I realized she was a human being. There are a lot of people who say, well, you know what, before the baby's naturally born and can live on their own, they're not fully human. But I realized, here she is, a baby responding to stimuli. She's crying. She's wiggling. She's in natal ICU.
Sure.
And I remember walking to her little incubator, and going past babies who were much smaller with their parents huddled around them. And I realized I needed to pay attention to this issue. Because as we brought her home, every single day I realized we were not really technically in the safe zone for her. If she was in the womb in a lot of places, she could have still been aborted. Even though she's keeping me up at night with her crying. And so I began to research the issue, and I began to think, what is it that makes a person alive? How does abortion law work? Why is it that the state will pay and require hospitals to provide prenatal care, but they also mandate in California that state funds go to aborting the baby at the same age. Where does life begin? Where does life end? And I looked in the Bible. I saw a lot of verses about that. I looked at the ultrasounds. You know, they say that when a baby is in the stomach, you're supposed to read to the baby and sing to the baby because it helps them develop better, or they develop more cognitive ability. And so looking at everything together, I realized there's something more here. It's not just a blob of tissue. It's a human being. And the question is, do they deserve to be protected?
Well, Michael, let's add another layer to that with a question. You say that you discovered early on that life began much earlier than you had planned for your little Sophie, and that's wonderful. It's a beautiful story. But how about this? When does viability begin, and when does viability end? Because you can have life without viability, can't you?
Well, you can have life without viability throughout life. I mean, you've had
That's
kids
true.
In iron lungs.
That's true.
You have people on life support in the hospital. You have a person who gets in a car accident and they are put on oxygen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You have a person who is having an open heart surgery where they stop the heart for a moment in order to do a transplant.
Right, right.
So there are a lot of points where a person doesn't have viability of life. And Roe versus Wade even recognized a person can have viability of life with medical assistance.
Yes.
There's a wide range of viability.
Okay, so you are making judgments on whether something is alive or not. Viability is not the issue, you're saying.
Viability is an issue. Legally, it has been understood as an issue. I mean, Roe versus Wade, they couldn't figure out exactly when viability would start because they didn't have ultrasounds and things like that.
Right, right.
So they came up with a trimester system, and they said, first trimester, abortion needs to be allowed. Second trimester, the state's interest in preserving, they call it potential life because they don't want to say life.
Mm-hmm.
Potential life of the fetus increases, and then in the third trimester, the state can make a decision. So there's always been a changing standard, and then in the 1990s, the Casey decision came out when they said, look, you know, a person can be viable well before the third trimester.
Yes.
With modern technology, modern science. So it's hard to tell exactly when viability begins, but the viability standard was some kind of a legal standard to try to figure out the demarcation line between the place when the mother's interest over the interest of the infant and then where the state's interest in preserving the infant increases to the point where they prevent the infant from being aborted.
Okay, all right. Well, I want to make sure that we have this clear then, that when you look at this issue, Michael Peabody, when you look at this issue, you're interested in when life is there, not necessarily when viability is there. Am I right?
Viability is the legal standard.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at it like life begins when life begins.
Okay. All right.
And God knows when that is. And I also think there are two tables of the law. There's the first four commandments that have to do with human relationship to God.
Mm-hmm.
And the last six, which have to do with human relation to each other. And abortion falls within the second table. It's something that is within human beings' relationship with each other. You know, there's a community interest in.
Could we divide this into maybe social and moral issues? Socially, that's where viability lives. But in the spiritual realm, in the moral realm, that's where life lives. Would I be right in saying that?
That's a way of expressing the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, there's a big debate going on in Virginia specifically,
yes,
where
yes.
There was a governor who discussed what would happen if you have a baby who's born with severe deformities, and he said, well, the baby would be delivered, taken care of, kept comfortable, and then the parents could decide.
Yeah.
Once the baby is living outside the womb, there is a absolute, I believe, constitutional right that that baby begins to have at the moment of birth that is irrefutable under any legal standard. You know, and I'm a lawyer, I look at this legally.
Sure.
Now remember, Roe v. Wade has to do with federal limitation on state laws.
Mm-hmm.
So under Roe versus Wade, a state that permits abortion won't be impacted by Roe versus Wade. But what Roe versus Wade would do is limit states that want to limit abortion.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So if Roe v. Wade were overturned, states that already have abortion in their laws would not be affected.
When you talk to people on this topic and you find, of course, there's this divide in this country, as there always is, you have the pro-life and the pro-choice people, how do you approach it? Because, you know, what's that saying? Say a person convinced against his will is of the same mind still. How do you bridge that gap between these two types of thinking to try to save life? Because we've established that you are basing your beliefs on when life begins.
Well, it's like any type of, you know, life issue. You know, how do you deal with criminal activity? If you have a person who is engaged in a criminal act, do you step in and say, don't do that? Or do you say, well, you know, it's okay for you to do that. It's, you know, you're right. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously with a postnatal determination of life is not viable and after baby's born, you know, try to do something, then obviously there'd be a clear opportunity for the state to step in and say, you can't do that.
Right.
And I look at it sort of like there is a moral and social and legal interest in the life of the child. And at some point after viability, the child has its own constitutional rights. Mm-hmm. And the question is where viability steps in, you know, legally.
Yeah.
And then the moral standpoint is what comes before the point of viability. So at this point, I'm arguing once viability happens, the state has an interest in preserving the life of the unborn child. Before viability, there's a moral standard. And that is the, you know, and this is based on a combination of the law as well as moral codes.
Okay. Well, you've made that clear, and I appreciate that. Michael Peabody. Michael Peabody is an employment law attorney practicing in Los Angeles, California. And he has a website, listener. I would recommend that you go there. ReligiousLiberty.tv is the website. There's many issues that he deals with, and abortion is one of them on that website. And I really appreciate, Michael, you sharing your heart today and giving us something to think about. And listener, that's what this is about. I want you to have something to think about. I want you to put this into your mind, prayerfully put it into your mind, and let God lead you to your conclusions. Because we can express opinions on this program, but they may not be yours. But, you know, God loves us all, and God wants you to have some opinions on these subjects. And so here's some ammunition you can use, also on ReligiousLiberty.tv, some ammunition you can use to form your conclusions as well. Michael, thank you so much for being with us today. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Michael Peabody inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call 443-391-7258 or email us through our website at libertymagazine.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.